I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, how some religious leaders in communities of color are trying to revisit the meaning of masculinity, changing the culture of macho. That's our Faith Matters conversation, and it's a little later in the program. But first, a newsmaker interview. David Paterson, a former state senator and lieutenant governor, became New York's chief executive in March of 2008. It was a job he had not sought, but one to which he was welcomed by many New Yorkers tired of the lurid charges swirling around former Governor Eliot Spitzer and allegations that he had engaged prostitutes. Nationally, Paterson was also heralded as a trailblazer as New York's first African-American governor. But times have changed. More than a year and a half into his tenure, Governor Paterson's approval rating has plummeted, hovering at around 20%, according to a recent Marist Institute poll. And the perception that he is likely to fail in a re-election bid next year has drawn concern from the highest ranks of the Democratic Party, including, apparently, President Obama, whose political operatives are reported to have urged Paterson to drop his plans to run for a full term next fall. Yet Governor Paterson has vowed to fight on, and he's with us now from his office in Albany. Governor, welcome. Welcome back, I should say.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Well, I've had a difficult week, but I think that New Yorkers and Americans are having difficult weeks because we've had to make tough decisions. And the tough decisions I've made have kept the integrity of the financial system in New York, even though we're at ground zero in the economic crisis. We were hit harder than any state because over 20% of our tax-collected resources come from Wall Street, and Wall Street, of course, fell off the cliff. So I've had to make a lot of tough decisions, and so have other governors. There are 11 governors with under 35% approval ratings, and I'm one of them. And what we're trying to do is to let our constituents know why we made the decisions we did. And I think as people become more familiar with how serious this economic crisis is, they will recognize what we've tried to accomplish in this period.
Just to be clear, you went on the record on Meet the Press this past weekend, and you wanted to clarify reports that the president, or through various intermediaries, had asked you to stand down from your reelection campaign. You said that these were private conversations, you weren't going to disclose them. But you will acknowledge, in fact, that Congressman Greg Meeks was on this program, you will acknowledge that the president has expressed concerns about your prospects. What do you think those concerns are?
Well, I think the president's right. I think that the concerns about Democratic victories are paramount right now because the Republican Party has made it clear that they don't seem to want to work with the president in this recovery. And so, therefore, how these races does determine the type of help that he can get from states. So I totally understand that. However, the New York Times story is totally inaccurate, and Congressman Meeks has been on your show, has affirmed that he was never given a message to take to me, nor did he take a message to me. So I don't know who those people were that spoke on the record, but they're misinformed, and they also broke confidences that I have never broken.
You think the concerns of the White House are your low approval rating?
Well, I would imagine so, although my approval rating is up in the last couple of weeks. One poll showed me at 30%, and one poll showed me at 39%. But what I would say is that I acknowledge that I have had low approval ratings, as have other governors, but I would like to make this point about New York. New York has had a sound credit rating. We have never missed a payment to any of our obligators. We've never missed payments to schools or local governments. And we have not had to lay off or furlough our workers like half of the states in the union have. We have not exercised early release of prisoners from our federal penitentiaries, as over 10 other states have. And I'm not blaming those governors. But New York knew about the financial crisis before anyone else. So I'm not going to minimize the gravity of the unemployment and mortgage foreclosures. But I am saying that our state has never had to go through some of the turbulence that other states are experiencing.
I want to have more on that point in a minute, but just on a final question about President Obama. You're saying he didn't ask you to step aside, but as the president of the country, as the leader of the Democratic Party, do you think he would be in his rights to do so if he thought you couldn't win?
I think he would be in his right to do so, and I think the administration has expressed himself on these issues, and I think that they have a right to do so, and I support the administration. What I will say is I think the voters of New York should determine who their governor is, and I am running for governor in 2010.
Unequivocally.
Unequivocally, It could be an earthquake and I wouldn't run, but barring
let's hope
anything
not.
Unforeseen, I'm a candidate for governor.
Why are you the best person for the job, Governor?
I'm the best person for the job because I balanced two budgets consecutively in the middle of a recession. I took a deficit, which was $5 billion when it was originally forecast, that grew to $21 billion, and balanced it without hurting the inner fabric of the state. The difficult times that New Yorkers are experiencing, like other Americans, they rightly do put responsibility on the head of their states, and I accept that responsibility. But when there's an actual election, I think you see this going on in New Jersey. The governor also had low poll numbers. The governor was, it was suggested that that governor not run for office. He is now, Governor Corzine, 7 points down in the polls with 5 weeks to go in the election. I'd play that hand in a heartbeat.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're speaking with the governor of New York, David Paterson. Governor, you know, you make an interesting point. You're saying you've cited the tough decisions that you've had to make as a consequence of the recession as one of the reasons that you are politically vulnerable. But another example of something for which you were criticized was in selecting Congresswoman, now Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, to fill the seat vacated by Senator Hillary Clinton when she went to the State Department. And people look at that and say it may have been the right decision, but how you got there is what undermines confidence in your leadership. What did you say about that?
I'm not happy about the way that process unfolded. I take full responsibility for what happened there. I made mistakes. Frankly, I think Caroline Kennedy should have been treated better in that process. And those who mistreated her do not work for me any longer. But you're right. In the end, I am gratified that we did find a candidate with the credentials of Kirsten Gillibrand, the youngest senator in the United States Senate, the only senator from upstate New York in 45 years, and I think she'll do a fine job, and has already demonstrated that she can.
But what about the point that perhaps even if you come out right in the end, it's just there's something about your style of leadership that doesn't seem to fit the moment? What would you say about that?
People thought that I should have made the selection earlier, and perhaps if I'd made the selection earlier, I wouldn't have to answer this question right now. But the reality was, what was different in my situation was that we had a senator, Hillary Clinton, and the day after she was confirmed to be Secretary of State, I chose someone else. If I had chosen from the list of available people before Senator Clinton sat down, and for some reason she changed her mind, for instance, we'd be right here on the show, Michelle, and you'd be asking me, why did you jump the gun and anger 20 people that you didn't? That's what we call in the neighborhood a crisscross.
Well, speaking of political legacies, a lot of Americans are familiar with the Kennedy family's political legacy, but you also come from an incredibly accomplished political family. Your father, Basil Paterson, was a New York State senator, secretary of state, deputy mayor. You've been around the whole environment of politics for your whole life. Given your history, did you expect the sort of bare-knuckled fights that you've been engaged in since you've been in this job?
No, I mean, I was an advocate and a legislator, and this was not where I was focused in executive service, but you would not believe how much I love this job. I have learned so much about leadership, and I've also learned that the governor and governors are the only people in this country who have to act as the adults in the room. The federal government can print money when it runs out of money. The states are constitutionally obligated to balance their budgets every year. And we are the ones who are charged with the greatest responsibility of leading us from this recession back to prosperity. And it's a tremendous challenge, but I certainly have garnered a great deal of respect for this office and would describe this as the happiest time of my life, even though I face the greatest challenges and probably face the greatest ridicule.
And just briefly, Governor, you mentioned during a radio interview in August that you and I have talked previously about the role that race plays in public life, in the way different leaders are evaluated. You were quoted as saying that you thought that race played some role in some of the criticism directed at you. You've later said that you feel your comments were taken out of context. What role do you feel race plays right now?
Listen, I think African Americans have come further in 40 years in this country than maybe any oppressed group has moved in any country in any documented history. the times when race becomes an issue these days are in politics and in the media. The media is smitten with the perception of talking about race. And what I was saying in that interview is that race should not be a factor, whether someone is a governor or a senator or just whatever position people have in their regular workplace. And the times that I think that it has become an issue have not come from the general public. I think the general public is moving ahead of government and actually often the reporting of issues.
We started our conversation by saying that you haven't had the best week. What about next? How do you plan to get off the defensive so you can spend more time having better weeks and making the case
well, right
to New York
now,
for your second term?
In spite of the fact that we have maintained a stable economic system in New York, we have $3 billion that has arisen since we passed our budget in April. And we're going to have to go back to Albany to balance that budget. And I have found that the business leaders around the state, the legislative leaders, and also the union leaders have all come together with me to recognize that if we can get through this next wave of the crisis, that we could well set New York on a course back to prosperity. This is the most cooperation that I have gotten. And I don't know why it comes at this time, because I've been praying for it all along. But I certainly think that this state is now addressing the problems in an even quicker fashion than we were before.
David Paterson is the governor of New York. He joined us by phone from his office in Albany. Governor, thank you.
Thank you.